Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter number 2 this afternoon. Revelation chapter number 2. I am very excited about tonight, and I'm saying this for this reason. When I get excited, I talk fast, and I go through things fast, and some people have a hard time keeping up with me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? I guess I gave a lot of scripture references last week, and some of you are still trying to figure out where I'm at. That's how fast I was going. I'm going to do my best to slow way down tonight for the elderly. And the whole church is in uproar on that one. but I'm going to do my best to slow down. Honestly, folks, I feel like I am going slow. But when you're standing up here and when you got 5 seconds of silence, it feels like 45 seconds of silence. And please forgive me on that. I'm trying to do my best on that. But we're still going to learn tonight about Thyatira. We'll probably be in here maybe a couple more weeks. That's just what God's laid upon my heart. Even with what took place this morning, I'm just amazed at how God works. I truly am. I would love to tell you how I got that message this week from this morning. I would love to tell you how that came to my heart and my mind. And I'm going to tell you this. It was through a song that God revealed that. And it's just truly amazing. Well, let's begin reading here again in chapter number 2. I'm in chapter 5 because that's where we were at this morning. We're going to go back to chapter number 2. And we're going to read the same portion that we read last week in verse number 18. And please be prepared tonight. We do have a lot of verses that we're going to go through tonight. And again, I'll try my best to slow down for you. Verse number 18, it says this. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." I'm just going to give you a little bit of a heads up. We're going to be dealing with this verse tonight. And as we go through this, you'll understand why God's just saying, "Hey, Chad, camp here. We got some things that we're missing, and so I want to take some time with this tonight." Verse number 19, it says, "I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Now, I'm not going to be dealing with this verse tonight, but I'm going to throw this out there to us believers tonight. Look what that verse says. God searches our hearts. What's the book of Jeremiah say? Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You want to know who knows our heart? God does. He knows your motives. He knows if you're real. He knows if you're phony. And boy, I hope that wakes us up. Verse number 24 says, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter. Shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Folks, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to be given a lot of information tonight about this particular church, the things that took place, why this letter was written specifically to them. And so as I pray, I'm going to ask you folks to pray silently to God. Lord, please give me something that I can apply my life to. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are grateful to be able to be back here this afternoon. I thank you for your people's faithfulness. Lord, many people give up their time to come and to worship and to have fellowship with one another. And I thank you so much for that desire that they have. And I understand and I realize tonight that nobody has to be here. But I do realize that they're here because they want to be, and I'm thankful for that. So God, as we go through your word, I pray that you would again begin to minister to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to stay focused upon your word this evening, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Thyatira. Here are a few attributes about the speaker that I am going to bring up tonight that we might have not have seen last week, and hopefully we can see it this week. And the first couple of them are found in verse number 18 of chapter number 2. Let me get back there. I flipped over. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things." You see what these next few words are? It says, "Saith the Son of God." This is important for us to camp out here for a little bit because of how he is addressed. This name is assigned to Christ. It's not assigned to anybody else, but this name is assigned to Christ. And it's used in this book a few times. Why is this so important? Well, I will tell you why it's so important. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 4 this afternoon. Book of Luke, chapter number 4. And keep in mind, I'm turning the same time that you are turning. I might get there a little bit faster, but I feel like I get there way later than the majority of folks in here. I got this huge Bible that I go through, and sometimes it seems like it takes me forever to get through this. So we see here that this name is assigned to Christ, but we also need to understand that this name is equal to the Messiah. And here's where we find this in verse number 41. It says, "And devils also came out of many, crying and saying, What is this? Thou art Christ, who? The Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." So this name, the Son of God, is a significant name. There's a few things I want us to understand as we continue to go on. And I'm going to have you go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter number 10 this afternoon. Book of John, chapter number 10. And we'll find our reading in verse number 36. John chapter 10, verse number 36, it reads, "Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am," who? "The Son of God." Very important for us to understand this. But here's what we need to understand about this verse before we continue to go on. Do you realize Jesus was commissioned? Do we ever look at Jesus like that? But Jesus, while he was on earth, he was commissioned. What was he commissioned to do? The same thing that you and I are commissioned to do the Father's will. So Jesus here, according to this verse, was commissioned to implement God's purpose for his people. So Jesus had a purpose to be here. It's important to remind us once again what this book is all about. Can anybody tell me from the past 3 or 4 weeks that we've been going through this, what is this book all about? Christ, exactly. It's not about everything that's going to come to pass as far as all the judgments. And that's true, those things are going to happen. But if we miss that this book is about Jesus Christ, then we miss everything. So this book is all about Jesus Christ and what he came to do. In chapter number 1, we won't go there, but in chapter number 1, we see that Christ is identified as the Son of, here's a trick one, the Son of Man. But he's also known as the Son of God. Go ahead and turn your Bibles this evening to look at this even further. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew Matthew chapter number 16, and please forgive me if I'm not making sense. I know how my mind works, and when I begin to type up my lessons, the thought process there is my mind's rolling. But sometimes when I get into the pulpit, my mind doesn't always work as properly as it should. So please forgive me in those areas. And if you ever do any type of public speaking, you might understand what I'm talking about. If you don't do any type of public speaking, you might have no clue. But in the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, we see Peter addressing Jesus in a particular way. Verse number 16 of Matthew 16, it says this. It says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ." But what's it say at the end of the verse? The Son of the Living God. Okay, so there's a little bit of a change there, because in Revelation he's known as the Son of Man, he's known as the Son of God. But I like how Peter addresses it here. Peter's saying, hey, he's not just the Son of God, he's the Son of the Living God. Well, why is that important to stress here? Because unfortunately in our world today, there's a lot of religions that have gods who are not alive. They're dead. But Peter is stressing here that we have a living God. Folks, isn't that exciting? You don't seem too excited about that. But we serve a living God, and Peter here, he's testifying this. Okay, let's read this verse again. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Who's Peter talking to? This is going back to Jesus. Jesus and Peter are in direct conversation. See, sometimes when we look at the Word of God, we don't really see what's going on here, which is why I tried to spend some time to really bring the Bible to life. My mind works as a story. I look at everything as a story, and I try to bring things more to life to me. And so Peter here, he's having a conversation. Tom, think about this. A conversation, one-on-one, just like I am to you. I don't know how far apart they were, but I can just imagine maybe they're 2-3 feet apart from each other. And Peter is talking to Jesus and says, "Thou art the Christ." But I'm going to go a little bit further, and I'm going to say, "Thou art the living Son of God." What a great reminder that we have to be excited about. Well, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles again to the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. And trying to keep along with this theme here, which is why I feel it was important to really stay here for quite some time. But in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, in verse number 63, it says this. It says, "But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said to him, I adjure thee by," what? "The living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." You see the importance here, why we're trying to stress this? Well, why is this so important here? Because this was coming when Jesus was being indicted before the Sanhedrins. Well, what's the Sanhedrins have to do with it? Folks, if you don't know anything about the Sanhedrins, I'm going to encourage you to look them up, because they got a lot to do with what's going on in Israel right now. And with that being said, I would just encourage you to do this. As we continue to see this, turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 19. I don't know if you're like me, but I like how in God's Word there's themes. And there's themes for a reason as we're going through this. So we see this phrase found in Matthew 16. We see it found in Matthew 26. And now in John chapter 19, verse number 7, says this. It says, "The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the" what? The Son of God. So these are some important things for us to consider as we go through this. So go back to book of Revelation, chapter number 2. And we begin to see how Jesus addresses himself. And he says this, "These things saith the Son of God." So it was important for us to take some time to establish that. So let's continue reading on here, because we're going to see some other things. Okay, so what are we going to see? Well, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. Now, if you're like me, I'm getting really interested now. You had me at eyes like a flame of fire. I'm thinking, man, this is cool. This is going to get pretty groovy here. We're going to see some things that we need to see. But his eyes were as a flame of fire. Well, what's so important about this? Well, going back to our first expression of Jesus being addressed as the Son of God, saying who he is, and now as he has the eyes as the eyes of a flame of fire, this is important because this lays the groundwork for the severe warnings that will follow. Not only is the book of Revelation all about Jesus Christ, but what's the other thing that the book of Revelation is all about? It's about judgment to come. And so this is laying the groundwork for this to take place. By the way, isn't it interesting? As you go through the book of Revelation, you get towards the end, you begin to see many nations addressed. You begin to see a phrase, something like this, and the kings will go into the mountains. I'm paraphrasing, okay? So don't quote me. They will go in because they're scared of the judgment that's going to come place. The judgment happens. They come out, and what's the word of God say? It says, and they repented not. Can I ask a question tonight? What does God have to do to get our attention? Have you ever thought about that saying? You know, God's going to do something to wake you up. And I'd hate to be in anybody's shoes that refuses to repent when God's speaking to you. Well, what's that a sign of? I'm just going to tell you a few things. That's a sign of pride. That's a sign of rebellion. That's a sign that you totally disrespect God. Well, that's being cruel. No, that's just being honest. It's just being honest. The third expression that we see here in verse number 18, okay, he's the Son of God. His features are like, he has eyes like unto a flame of fire. And then it goes on and says this, and his feet are like fine brass. You know what this is referring to? We're in Luke, Revelation chapter 2. Turn to that same chapter, but go down to verse number 27. And this will help explain this verse. It says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. This here is the purging out, the feet of fine brass, is the purging out of all impurities. The word brass here is very significant. Because brass can withstand a lot of heat, a lot of pressure. You go into a situation with just your bare feet, you're going to cause some harm to your body. But Jesus, his feet are talked about fine brass, and it's for this reason. He's going to have to do some correction with his feet. He's going to have to do some purging of the impurities that have taken place. And with that being said, they will be trampled then into small pieces. Isn't that interesting? Okay, we just look at this, and how many of us have read the book of Revelation so many times, and we see this, and we don't, oh, fine brass, what's this mean? There's a reason why this is written. Okay, it's about Jesus, but it's also about Jesus' judgment to come. He's come with a purpose. So now that we see these three things established here in verse number 18, we're going to move along, and we're going to see some other things that takes place with this church. And now as you're beginning to understand this, now you understand why I cannot get to Jezebel tonight. As I knew the direction that I was going, and I had everything Friday night, what I was wanting, how this to go, and I was getting my notes ready last night, and I'm thinking, man, I can't get to Jezebel. I've got too much here. I don't want to overload, because if they're overloaded, I'm overloaded. So I don't want to do that to you folks. But we see here in the next verse of chapter number 19 that Jesus begins to commend this church for some things that they did well. Now, it's always nice to be commended, is it not? It's nice that when mom and dad have their children and they're behaving, and mom and dad commend them for the behavior. It's always good to be commended. It's always good to be encouraged. Well, what does Jesus say? He starts off in verse number 19. It says, "I know thy works." Big deal. That's what everybody's thinking probably. Big deal. He knows their works. Well, we're going to see something take place. It says, "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first." We see here in verse number 19, as Jesus begins to commend his church. Now remember, he's commending his church, but what's going to take place with this church? What do we see in verse number 20? Verse number 20 says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against me." So as they're getting built up, they're going to be scolded here very quickly. And we're going to get to that probably next week. But we see in verse number 19, and this is important for us as a church to understand and to really get this evening. We see that love is demonstrated in one way. Can anybody pick this out here? Love is demonstrated in service. What's that have to do with it? I like what Julie said the other night in church, you know, when it came to our enemies. Have you ever tried serving him? And that's not how she said it. But love causes you, and I knew what she's getting at, because hatred causes us to go the other direction. Hatred causes us to, I have bad thoughts towards you, and I want the brick to fall down in front of your forehead, and I want a car to come. That's what hatred does. But when you love somebody, you're going to do an act of kindness for them. So this church of Thyatira, they had something going well, but they also had some other things against them. So they were recognized for their love. They were recognized for their service. So why is that important for us to understand? We're a group of believers tonight who are brought together by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because we're brought together by the love of Jesus Christ, we should have a love for one another. And because that we have a love for one another, guess what we're going to do? We're going to serve. We're going to serve. Thyatira is being commended for this. Now let me ask you a question tonight. If Christ was to come back and was to write us a letter, what would he say about our service? What would he say about our love that we have towards one another? So love is demonstrated in service to others. We also see here in this chapter of this verse, faith is shown, because faith is mentioned after service, faith is shown through endurance of hardships through persecutions. Did you get that? If you need to write it down, I'll say it again. This faith is shown through endurance of hardships through persecutions. So we know that this church was going through some persecution in their time. They're commended for their faith. By the way, it's not talking about church attendance. So often we think of faith, we think of church attendance. And I've told you this a few weeks ago, and I'm a firm believer in this now. There's more to being faithful than just being in the house of God. By the way, I believe you should be in God's house. But there's more to faithfulness than that. So they were persecuted. They went through some hardships, but they were still faithful. This love, however, that is being talked about here, is directed towards God and man. Towards God and man. So let's continue to move along here this evening. I want to point something out that I believe is important. It's good to note that the last three churches that we spoke about, do you realize that they were not commended for their love? What's the first thing that sticks out with you about the church of Ephesus? What was their one of the faults that they had? They left their first love. So they weren't being commended for their love. They were actually being scolded because they left their first love. By the way, you can do anything and everything that you want for God, but if you don't do it out of love, it's nothing. You know what that is? If you're not doing it out of love, hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing for this person. Look what I'm doing for God. It's all about you. It's not about love. Unfortunately, people are in God's house that do things for themselves and try to make themselves look good. It's never out of love. So these three churches before Thyatira, they weren't commended for it. Matter of fact, they were kind of scolded for it. Here's some interesting things for us to continue to note about this church. Thyatira is also known among the seven churches that we're going through here, these seven churches, for being not only commended for both their love, but they were commended for their service. So in other words, they were dedicated in this area. They had some faults, yes, we all have faults. Matter of fact, you can sit there right tonight and you can point out a lot of faults that I have. And by the way, if that's what you're doing tonight, then you got too much time in your hands. but anyway, it's not our job to be hateful. It's not our job to be pointing out each other's faults. But our job here, and this should be a lesson from us from Thyatira, hey, you know what we need to build on? You know what Open Door Baptist Church really needs to build on? There's a lot of things that we need to build on. And I like what Brother Ziner said at my father's funeral. Pastor Springer gave us a great foundation to build on. By the way, that hasn't left. We still have a great foundation to build on. So what can Open Door Baptist Church do? Well, we can be more loving. We can be more loving. You know, how can we be more loving? Well, the best way for me to say this is, and this is coming right back at me, get out of our cliques. Amen? Get out of our cliques and let somebody know that you care about them. And try to be loving and do service for them. Hey, is there something I can do for you? There's hardly, I kid you not, and I'm not boasting, but there's hardly a day that goes by now since you all have allowed me to be your pastor. There's hardly a day that goes by in my life now where I don't get a phone call or text and someone say, hey, is there something I can do for you? You know how encouraging that is? That's great. But you know what needs to be done? We need to extend that to each other. We need to extend that to each other. It would be great to do those things. So they're commended for both love and for service. Well, what is so important about service? Good question. Service is a ministry to the needs of others. And we're going to find some proof here. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. Book of Acts, chapter number 11. Am I doing okay, giving you plenty of time to get to your passage? Thank you. I'm working very hard on that. And as I'm listening to you guys turn to your place where you're at, I have this in my head. The theme of Jeopardy. The theme lost me. But anyway, service, why do I do that, Q? Why, I don't understand that. Acts chapter 11, verse number 29, we're going to see an act of service and how it's a ministry. It says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, do you see that word? According to his ability. Well, how do we serve? We serve each other according to the ability that God gave us. So in other words, we don't try to outdo one another because that's what we do. Why do we do that? We're competitive. I don't want someone else to outdo me, so I'm going to make better brownies than so-and-so did. Okay, what are you trying to prove? Again, that's a pride issue. So that's why I'm trying to take a little bit of time right here. It says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability. Don't worry about somebody else's ability. Don't worry about somebody else's gift. Worry and concentrate on the ability and the gift God gave you. That would be very beneficial to us. Now, there are people in here that know the Bible better than I do. But God didn't give you the gift to speak in front of people. So focus on the gift and the ability God gave you. By the way, I'm not intimidated that somebody knows the Bible more than I do. I'm thrilled. You know why? Because I can go to them. And I can say, hey, man, I'm not understanding this. You got more knowledge in this area. Can you help me out? You know, I got a good friend in Logan. Logan's, man, he's got a brain that's up here. And he'll call and ask me a question. I'm like Lauren Hardy doing this number. He doesn't see that. But I'm thinking to myself, Logan, why are you asking me? I have no clue. Then I figured out, oh, I get where you're coming from. I got to dumb it down for you. He goes, exactly. But I'm not intimidated by those things. I'm excited. So let's finish this verse here. It says, the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to do what? To send relief. It's an act of service. Unto the brethren which dwelt where? In Judea. Okay, now that we established that service is a ministry to the needs of others, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16, we'll read verse number 15. It says this, it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to what? Say it out loud with me. To the ministry of the saints, an act of service. So this is what Thyatira was known for. They were dedicated. I don't know about you, but I'm getting kind of excited. So we got that established. Now, it's good to point out that many times in the New Testament, there were voluntary services involved with supplying food to who? To the needy. So where has Open Door Baptist Church gone wrong? What do you mean? There is a whole community out here that's needy of food. Do you know that the Mormons take care of themselves as far as a group, as far as having food stashed for themselves? They got this part of the scripture down. Now they're wrong in many of their other areas of doctrine. But they have this down. By the way, there are some folks that don't have what you have. And it would be good for us to be able to, you know, serve them in some type of capacity. Now, there are some folks out there that are good at taking advantage of those things. And you got to decipher that because you don't want to be taken advantage of. And you don't want to be in the poorhouse as well. But a lot of times in the New Testament, they were serving others by doing what? Supplying food to the needy. By the way, when you talk about faith promise, that's what was being done upon the first day of the week. And I might preach on this someday because it was for the needy. And I see some eyebrows being raised. I can prove it to you in Scripture. And I might do that one of these days. That's all a different time. We're going to focus on this. All God's people said amen. Now, as we continue to go on, Thyatira was known for this type of service. We're going to do some turning of the pages here. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 15. We just read this verse in 16 of 15 of 1 Corinthians, so we won't read that one again. But in the book of Romans chapter 15, it reads this in verse number 25, and we're going to read down through verse number 27. It says this, it says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to do what? To minister unto the saints. See, we got to take time to see what was going on here in Thyatira. Why? Because Jesus took the time to commend them. before he scolds them for what they didn't do, he's commended them for what they did do. And so they knew that they had a ministry and they were focused on ministering to the saints. By the way, who are the saints? Us. Now, that's interesting. Because when you look at the word saint, you think of perfect. You know, after salvation, that's how God sees us. But we still sin. It's hard to believe that I have St. Tom and St. Q sitting in the same row. And they're only saints because St. Vicky's there with them. But you see what's going on here. Their ministry was to the saints. So let's continue reading on. It says, verse number 26, it says, "For hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." Which is why I was trying to tell you just a little bit ago about Faith Promise in this area. So let's continue to go on. And verse number 27 says, "That please them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." So we read 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, so go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I hope I'm being very informative to you folks tonight. I hope I haven't failed you in this area. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we're going to read in verse number 4. It says this. Give you a little bit of time to get there. Still here, some pages. Verse number 4 says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to" who? "To the saints." You see why Jesus is commending them? It was important to them. Go ahead in chapter number 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse number 1. It's right across the page if your Bible's like mine. In verse number 1, it says this. It says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." Finally, as we begin to close down, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. And we'll see in verse number 10, we'll see what the author says here. And people ask, "Do you believe the author's Paul?" I'm just going to give you my answer. I believe the author's Jesus Christ. Because the Word of God is God-breathed, God-inspired. So chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews, verse number 10, says this. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Folks, this is talking about Thyatira. So we have to put the Bible together, which is why you always got to compare Scripture with Scripture. It's important for us to understand that. Now, if we're just going through the book of Hebrews tonight and we come across that, we wouldn't have any idea what the author is talking about there. But in order to find out what the author is talking about there, we have to go to the book of Revelation and see what's taking place. God gives us the answer, but here's what we have to do. What can Open Door Baptist Church do besides improve on love and besides improving on service to each other? We can all improve on being more diligent to study God's Word. So let's read this verse again in verse number 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work." Do we not see that take place in Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 19? God's commending them. Goes on, it says, "To forget your work and labor of love." He recognized their service. He recognized they did it out of love, "which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Folks, I hope that this has been a blessing to you this afternoon. Next week, we will look even further. We're going to look at the sad state of the church that they got into. And this is really concerning what we read earlier tonight with Jezebel. And I got to take my time with that particular subject because there's a lot there. And I'm trying to help us grow further in God's Word. And I hope that this has been a true blessing to you. My mind has been consumed with this. And I'm preparing for 4 messages a week. And I love it. I'm excited about it. Do I get worn out from time to time? Yeah, I do. I'm just like anybody else. I get wore out, and I want to put my feet up on the recliner and watch a little Perry Mason on occasion. But, man, I love studying God's Word because I've missed out on so much in my life. And now I'm hungry for it. But it's harder for me now because I don't have the sponge of a mind that I had back when I was younger. And that's how it works. Well, hey, let's stand and have a word of prayer. We're gonna have our prayer time tonight, but the folks that are going to leave, give me about 30 seconds. So you got to stay in here for at least 30 seconds. My wife and I, we're going to go out there, and we'll greet you as you go on. And for those that are going to stay, go ahead and stay here. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this evening that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the areas that you show us from your word that we need to work on. And I thank you, Lord, for a church that love one another. I thank you for a church that wants to serve one another. But God, I also know that we can improve on these things. And I pray that we would do so. And we ask you these things, your name, amen.